Morning, boys. How you doing? I think we're in Matthew 19. Got any prayer requests? Well, let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for this beautiful day and fellowship that we can have. I pray that you'd help us to know what the right way is and to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Matthew 19. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason?" And he answered and said to them, "Have you not read that he who had made them from the beginning made them male and female, and said, 'For this reason man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they two shall become one flesh? So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore what God has joined together, let no man separate. They said to him, "Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and put it away?" And he said to them, "Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. And whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery." His disciples said to him, "If such is the case of a man with his wife, then it is better not to marry." And he said to them, "All cannot accept this saying, but only those whom it is given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who are made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept, let him accept it." There's a lot in this chapter. But he's basically talking about the permanency of marriage and seriousness of it. In 13, then little children were brought to him, and he put his hands on them and prayed. Then little children were brought to him that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, "Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for such is the kingdom of heaven." And he laid his hands on them and departed there. I think in the last chapter, he was talking about the little children also, that if we don't become like them, simple and trusting, then we're not part of him. Number 16. Now behold, one of them said to him, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" So he said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep his commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "All these things have I kept from my youth, but what do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have, give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come follow me." That when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Assuredly I say unto you, that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, "Who then can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said to them, "With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible." Then Peter answered and said to him, See that we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have? So Jesus said to them, assuredly I say to you, that in the generation when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit 12 thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sister or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Yes, one thing I could point out about the rich young rulers, a lot of people have everything right in their life, but one problem. And that's the one thing God wants. For this man, it was riches. For another person, for everyone else, it may be something completely different. But I think that's all I'll share. Any questions? Okay.
Last week we were told to tell the time that we forgave someone and to find a place in the Bible or think of an example from the Bible of someone who forgave. And one time one of my brothers broke a new tool that I had gotten, but I just knew it was an accident to put in a new blade. But Daniel, when he was put down in the lion's den for praying, he just forgave the other man. He didn't make a big deal of it.
Jesus said if you don't forgive others, the Heavenly Father won't forgive you, and I forgive others.
In Acts 8, where Stephen was the first martyr, and he forgave the people for stoning him, and that was an amazing thing to forgive. It's recorded here. Then falling on his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. Then having said this, he fell asleep. So he was able to forgive something big. Where we live, we might not be able to do such great forgiveness, but we can at least forgive the little things that come up in our life so that we're doing right in the little things so that we can forgive when if something real would come up. So
I got word. Peter asked Jesus, he said, how many times should we forgive someone? And Jesus said, asked him seven times, and Jesus said 70 times seven, and I need to put that into practice. And sometimes I'll forgive somebody once, and then they do something else, and it's just like, I already did it once, but I just need to keep on forgiving.
I thought about Moses in the Bible whenever he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. They did a lot of things that they got complaining about things and weren't content. And so he had a lot of times that he needed to forgive them and just go on. And I, in my life, I need to do better at that too, just let things go. And this week, it helped me with the assignment to just let the things go and forgive people.
Oh, not too long ago, when one of my siblings was pesting, I just decided to leave it go and forget about it. But I guess I haven't yet. Then Paul, at the end of his life, even though people had done it a lot, had done a lot of bad stuff to him, he said he had fought the good fight and his conscience was clear.
One time, one of my siblings did something naughty, and my parents didn't know which one it was, and so they had everybody punished, and I had to forgive the person who'd done the wrong for not fessing up. And also I thought about how Esau, he eventually forgave his brother for stealing his birthright, and he just made friends with him again. In Luke 6:37, it says, for part of it says, forgive and you will be forgiven. So I need to work on forgiving people and being patient with them and being humble, because sometimes I need to be forgiven.
I thought of the same example as Hans did, how Stephen was preaching, and the people that he was preaching to didn't like it, and so they were stoning him, and his last words before he died was, "Lord, don't hold this sin against them." And that's an amazing act of forgiveness that he did. And
even when his son Absalom had turned against him and was trying to kill David and all his followers and everything, David just forgave him, completely forgave him, and wanted what was best for him. And one of my brothers reminded me of a time when he broke one of my bits, and I told him, "Well, I'll soon buy another set." So
I thought about Jesus when they nailed him to the cross. He had the power and the willingness to forgive those who had done it to him. And he said, "Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do." And something I struggle with is forgive and forget. It's a saying I grew up with, and every now and then I hold something or can't quite do it. I need to work on that a little bit.
When somebody messed something up or break something, I just forgive them. And I got Philemon when his slave Onesimus ran away. Paul told him Onesimus to go back and be a good slave, and told Philemon to forgive him.
At working at the cell barn, there's several times throughout the day that you just want to get mad about something that you're supposed to be doing, or you're going to fixing to do something, and then somebody goes through and switches all the gates around and moves their set. You don't really know it, so you're bringing a set through and the gates are closed and they just get mixed up. Sometimes you just want to get pretty angry at them for not just, the gates are set there, just let them sit there and not ask or something. Just need to learn to forgive it. I had same as worrying on Hans about Stephen, just forgave him after he's getting stoned. I mean, I bet it hurt a lot, and we just forgave him.
I had some thoughts about forgiving myself. And I have a little example to share that's not too deep. It's just kind of a funny little incident, but it reflects what can happen and how things can build up in you. I went to Connie's yesterday, and coincidentally, Kevin and Floyd were there working. Kevin was working on the window, the kitchen window. That was too small, so he was putting a bigger window in there. And I was weed eating in the backyard, or mowing and weed eating, and Kevin went to go get a tool or something, and I just coincidentally got around to where he was, had his tools laid out on the grass right there by the side of the deck. And I was like, I had a flash thought, Kevin wouldn't appreciate me weed eating near his tools because the grass would get in it. And I was like, oh, whatever, so I just blew right there. And I weeded that little spot next to the tools and then set my weed eater down. That was the very last little lick of weed eating in the whole yard, so I just did that real quick. Well, then Kevin comes back and he's like, "Well, let's get our tools picked up real quick so we don't get grass in them." And I'm like, oh, man. And so I was like, it was a great day. The weather was beautiful and I was in a good mood, so I didn't give myself a hard time about it. I just moved on, but It seems like stuff like that happens while I'm working with people, is I will do something that's not very considerate, or, you know. And then the hardest thing for me is forgiving myself and just rejoicing that I'm working with great people and just being a part of a family. That's the blessing of, instead of getting separated by your own self, pity and guilt, unite with your crew and your people that love you. And that's a very important thing. And I think, I wonder sometimes if it's harder sometimes for the person that's doing the wrong to forgive themselves than for the person who was wronged to forgive that person. And also, when I can't forgive myself, it automatically puts a wedge between me and the crew or people that I'm associating with, because I can't forgive myself and I don't see that mercy and love that should be there. It becomes clouded. But I soon see, I mean, it just builds up. Like, I'll have a bad day and I'll do several things that I think were wrongs to somebody, and it just closes in on me, and I just have all these emotions of guilt, and I feel like a weary, beat down soldier, you know. Some days the sun's shining, and it's so easy to forgive and forget yourself and other people, but then other days it's a challenge, and we need to push through those gloomy, cloudy days, and so that when we get through those cloudy days, we can rejoice together that we're united and we need each other. And so, Lord bless you all.